Thank you for joining us and tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry today. We're back in the studio with, she's waving, Tanya and Beth, Janelle and Brenna, and Tara and myself, Sandy. Last time we talked about Jesus and what we learned about Jesus, and we came up with love. He's faithful. He equips us ahead of time, and he's compassionate. And it's the compassion that Tara said was a deep welling in his heart, so it's a great compassion. And today we'll be continuing in Matthew 9:35 through 10 through 16, and we'll discuss about what we've learned about the people and also the disciples.
This is going to be exciting. I began to tell us last time, and I really want to emphasize this, a shift is occurring. Because up to this point, they're followers. Now it is time. Jesus is recognizing it's time for him to get, it's getting closer to him being in Jerusalem. And so the disciples can no longer be a follower. And I remember the day the shift happened when God told me that it was time for Tanya to stop following. You know, Tanya's been attending Bible, or had for many years attended Bible studies with me for a long, long time. And as she started standing up and teaching in class, one day in my prayer time, I very clearly, God put on my heart, it's time for Tanya to go and lead her own group. It was time to tell you to go on.
It was hard.
It was hard. It is hard. Yeah. It was hard for me as a friend, leader, everything, because at that point, I think in my heart was, I'm supposed to train people up so I can keep them for me.
We like to keep our little peeps.
But we're not allowed to. God very clearly is that we are to send. And I remember walking up to her before one of our sessions and saying, you know, Tanya, it's time for you to start your own group. And she just kind of looked at me and just nodded her head.
Okay.
Like, I'm not there. Now, you know, here she's a women's leader in her church. It's amazing how God works. And so today we're going to focus in on the looking at the people and the seeing of the disciples, and the importance of knowing who the people are, and then knowing what God's called us to do and what he's given us so that we can go out. And so Janelle's going to summarize for us. You can go and read Matthew 9:35 through chapter 10, verse 16, but she's just going to give us a summary.
Okay, so at the end of chapter 9, it's Jesus talking with his disciples. He looks through all these towns and villages, and he sees all these people and is filled with compassion for them, and makes this note that there's so many people, the harvest is so plentiful, but the workers are few. And so kind of in response to that, he provides some workers. He sends out his disciples, and two by two he sends them out and gives them some instructions, you know, not to take provisions that they don't need, but to fully rely on God. And to whatever village you go in and find a worthy person, and then that person, you know, if they've proven themselves, you know, you leave your peace there, and then if not, you bring it back with you. And he gives these instructions for his disciples, and then sends them out and tells them to be, he's sending them out like sheep among wolves, so therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves.
That's good. Good summary. Mm-hmm. Good job. Mm-hmm. We're so proud of our Janelle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yay. She's our newest Cultivating Hearts love.
Hi, we're so glad you're here.
That's my voice I use for my puppy.
Thank you.
It's my love. You know what I mean? That's just, you're so cute. You just can't help but talk in that voice. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm a dog. You. Okay.
You're a puppy. I know you.
I'm knowing my people, right? So what we're going to do is last week we examined what we could learn about Jesus. Right now what I want us to do is I want us to think, looking at this, everything that we can find that is clear cut, and then everything that would be implied about the people. And so that we can examine the people and know people, because we have to know our people. We have to not just know our people, we have to know the culture that our people are in, because that's what equips us to go and reach them. So what do we learn about these people? What do you know about them? That's all, and I'll speak at once.
They have a really great need. They're lost and shepherdless.
Okay. What else? When you say shepherdless, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. When you think of a shepherd, what should a shepherd do?
Take care of your needs and lead you and guide you, mm-hmm. provide for you, protect you.
What's the, yeah, protect is the word I was mm-hmm. looking for. That's good. Okay. Teach you. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And water, basics, the necessities that you've listed. Mm-hmm. All right. What else can you say about the people?
Well, the ones that he wants him to reach are the Jewish people.
Okay. Going there first. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right. There is something else that he has an expectation upon the people. What is the expectation upon the people? If the disciples are to go and not take anything with them.
Oh. They'll be provided for. Mm-hmm. For. The people are going to give them what they need.
There's an expectation. Isn't there? I mean, and that's mm-hmm. an easy thing for us to overlook, but yeah, there is an expectation that the people have a responsibility, not just the disciples. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at this and I was pondering it, I thought, okay, they're not just in, you know, they're bothered by wolves. Okay, they are without a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't have a shepherd, the wolves are going to eat you. Mm-hmm. I mean, sheep are stupid. I mean, that is reality. Yeah. Yep. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, the wolves are after them. The elements are bothering them. So if they don't have a shepherd, then that means that the gnats and the flies are burrowing up their cavities of their ears and their noses. Because I'm serious. This is true shepherding things you need to know. When Scripture tells us that he anointed them with oil, they would literally take a special oil and they would rub it inside the nose of a sheep and the ears to protect them so that the bugs would not burrow in, the flies would not go in and lay their larvae. Mm. And what would happen is that if they did not anoint them with oil, then the sheep literally would have bug eggs hatching inside and they would beat their head until they would kill themselves. They would go crazy. So without a shepherd, there is a lot of information mm-hmm. with that one phrase, mm-hmm. without a shepherd. Because if you don't have a shepherd, your mind is messed with. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is serious stuff. I mean, you got to know the background behind why they use the phrases that they use. Mm-hmm. He knows the shepherd would protect them and anoint them with the oil. He would feed them and water them and keep them in boundaries mm-hmm. that would protect them, keep them in safe places. So if he's looking at a group of people and he's seeing they have no clue about boundaries, they're mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and most of all spiritually lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the fullness of what it means to be without a shepherd. I mean, it grieved my heart as I started mm-hmm. thinking about that. Mm. And how the mind gets messed up. Now, if we go back to our very first show, Tanya has a heart for North Omaha. Sandy has a heart for Open Door. Actually, Tanya and Sandy and I, all three, serve in some capacity at the Open Door. And Janelle was saying in her town, and then for people that feel awkward, and Beth feels called to reaching the people that she is socially interacting with through work. Mm-hmm. Are we looking at them and seeing that as we see manifestations of things coming out of people where mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, spiritually, it's not right? Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at them as this is a hassle and they're harassing me. I don't know. I'm confessing my sin. Mm-hmm. We need to be looking and saying this person is shepherdless.
Right.
They have no one to protect them, no one to anoint them, no one to protect their mind, no one to protect their heart, no one to protect their body. They need a shepherd. Mm-hmm. How can I help them find the shepherd? Mm-hmm. That's what needs to be in my mind. That's what needs to be in my heart. And it grieved me. And for me this morning, because I'm 6 months into being the Dean of Women at Grace, I was just overwhelmed with, really, it's a gift when God gives you a group that's your flock. Mm. It's a gift. Mm. And the accountability and the responsibility to take care of the flock, which is the reason why I talk to my Janelle that way. She's one of my sheep. And, right?
Puppies.
I can't explain it, because once somebody becomes a part of your flock, mm-hmm. the love, if we are truly in the will of God and we are praying for God's will in us as a servant leader, a shepherd, our love is going to be so intense for them that the first thing that's going to happen is that want to protect, to guide, to guard, to feed, to meet the need. Mm-hmm. All of those things are a part of it. I was blown away at the intensity of what God put in me for my people at Grace. Mm-hmm. I can't even explain. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's instant. So if I hear of something or I get a phone call or an email, instantly it's the mama mm-hmm. connects mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like, don't mess
with my baby.
Don't mess with my sheep. Yeah. It's like that. Mm-hmm. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And so people.
I just wanted to share the other night. We were in a small group at a Bible study, and a prayer warrior, Kim, and I were talking with the group, and she shared, you know, the prayer of Jabez. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is the quote or the verse? Something
enrich my land, my territory.
Right. Yeah. And we were in Proverbs talking about how, you know, God had compassion on the poor, and that's what He's called us to have. Who He's called us to have compassion on. So we're talking about that prayer of Jabez and how it really needs to be. What does expand my territory mean? It's expand your heart. God, expand my heart, and then automatically expands your territory. Mm. And she gave a visual. This was powerful. How that love that you have, it's not natural. Mm-mm. That's not from us.
No,
it's totally from the God. Lord. Absolutely. And so to grow in that, this was a great visual that when you pray for somebody that God's entrusted to you, or even just a stranger, imagine their heart in your hand.
Mm, that's a good visual.
And ask God, what are their needs? How are they? Where are they hurting? What are their desires? Like, and He'll just grow that love for them in you that, yeah, is beyond anything we can do in a minute, you know?
Well, and that's a beautiful example of what a shepherd would do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a shepherd is, how can I protect? And protection is going to be where, from the core. And I think that's the reason why the word, my Greek scholars forgive me, the splanknizomai for compassion is used to show that it comes from the deep bowels of us. I mean, you know, it's just, it like wrenches up out of you. I can't explain it. It's just because it is so not of us. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why that word's used.
We start to feel it, I think, when we have children. When we have our kids, right? We mm-hmm. start to yep. feel that.
Yeah.
And then it's even, intensifies even more.
As we grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As we grow. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is we can see it die mm-hmm. if we're not humbling ourselves before God. So with that, yep. let's shift to the disciples and everything we can give to describe what we learn about the disciples, because here it is, it's the 12. Mm-hmm. They are essentially the beginning of Jesus releasing and unleashing His ministry. Mm-hmm. He is saying, I trust you 12 to take into eternity until I return the gospel message and to train up those who follow. Mm. What do we learn about the 12, the disciples?
I think they're trusting. I mean, they have to. I mean, look what He tells them not to take. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what He tells them to bring, is, you know, pretty much themselves.
Yeah, their faith has grown.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is a pretty amazing comparison to all the other times you hear about the disciples and their doubt and all these mm-hmm. other passages and mm-hmm. how they just don't get it. And mm-hmm. and then He charges them with this huge commission, this major, yeah. like, okay, this is all this responsibility. This got it. And they're like, I don't know if it even says what their reaction is, but there's no mention of their, you know, stupid, wait a minute, Jesus, are you sure you want us to go without, that doesn't seem to be very wise.
Without any provision.
but
He did give them something.
Yeah.
One thing they needed. Right. And
which was?
Authority.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Is it. Authority. Yep.
And when we come to the place of finally understanding this is all we have and all we need. It's, I think, an amazing thing.
I agree.
I think that happens with us, too. I mean, when you, when you're trying to talk to somebody or whatever, and all the fear comes, and finally you get to a place of authority. You have to. You just have to.
Or stop relying on everything
yep.
you think you know yep. or need or whatever, well, and just acknowledge the fact, oh, God, you've given me this authority. It. I have everything I need. Mm-hmm. You've already empowered me, and I trust you're going to speak it through me. That's it.
And I think mm-hmm. that goes a lot along with seeing the people as God sees them, too, because when you can see, like, their heart just, like, in that state of need, you're like, oh, oh, God, we have to do something. And mm-hmm. and you get his heart and his compassion for them, and mm-hmm. along with that comes his charge, his mandate. You have to take care of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not really a question. You're not afraid anymore of taking care of them. It's not afraid of how they're going to judge you or how they're going to look at you, because you're not coming from your own power anymore. Mm-hmm. You're looking at them as God sees them, and you're looking at them with God's authority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know, as y'all are talking, I'm just sitting here going, oh, I love this. But I have a confession. I honestly don't know when authority is working through me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I am surrendered, and I am in prayer, and I have bowed, and I'm doing what I know God's called me to do. And then all of a sudden, I'll have somebody come up and say, you know, you said this, and because of this, this is what happened, and this is what happened. And I have no idea that God has done anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to be faithful to what I know I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. I'm called to teach. I'm called to give the word. I'm called to encourage. I'm called to unite in love. I'm called to reveal the mystery of the gospel. And I'm doing my best to be faithful at it. Mm-hmm. And people will perceive me as a person of authority, but I don't see myself that way at all.
Yeah.
Because we don't see him. I can't see what he's doing. Am I the only one in the room that has that?
No, that is it.
Well, because the authority is in him.
That's it. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's it.
It's through you, but it's in him.
And it's amazing, because then I know I can't say, oh, that was me.
Yeah.
Right. I can't, yeah, because I'm sitting there going, really?
Yeah.
He used that?
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, and that same prayer warrior that you were talking about earlier, Kim, she goes, but when they're rejecting you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him.
Right. You have to remember that.
That's critical.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's critical. And that's actually going to be next month. We will cover the last half of this chapter 10 and what he does with it. We're so glad you've been listening. You need to come back, because next week we're going to challenge ourselves and look at the Great Commission. God bless.